Tasting Tables 2013 Lobster Roll Rumble. If you like lobster and live anywhere near New York, you don't want to miss Tasting Tables 2013 Lobster Roll Rumble. This is a special recording in anticipation of the event, which goes down June 6th, 2013. The event takes place at the Metropolitan Pavilion at 125 West 18th Street in New York City. You think you've had good lobster rolls, but you have no idea.
This is Leah Eden with HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and I'm on the line today with Andrew Taylor and Mike Wiley, two of the chef owners of Hugo's Restaurant and Eventide Oyster Company in Portland, Maine. They're also one of the contestants in this summer's Lobster Roll Rumble. Welcome to both of you.
This is Andrew. Hello, how are you?
Andrew, hey.
I'm here.
Mike, oh, great, great. Well, welcome to both of you. We are real excited to speak with you today. So Andrew and Mike, you both came to Portland, Maine to work with the award-winning chef Rob Evans at Hugo's before he turned over the reins. He's a pretty influential chef in that area. What was it like to work with him and then take over Hugo's?
Rob is one of the best chefs I've ever had and really created an incredible environment here in Hugo's kitchen. He really helped transform the food scene in Portland, Maine. He always liked to joke that when he first started in Portland, you know, you couldn't serve pork belly because people thought it was some sort of offal or intestine dish, and you know, used to call it fresh bacon, but slowly transformed and, you know, introduced people to new foods and really paved the way for young guys like us. And Rob is just such a wonderful guy to work for. We love him. He's a great friend of ours. I worked for him. He hired me as his sous chef. I worked for him for about 3 years before he handed it over. And Mike came on about a year and a half after I was hired.
Yeah. In addition to being a great great chef, great innovator, and, you know, kind of one of the frontiersmen here in Maine of bringing haute cuisine this far north, he's just a really warm guy, really wonderful person to work for, and, you know, certainly the kind of chef who you want to make sure you're doing everything perfectly for, representing his food beautifully and performing well at your job. He's also he's also the kind of guy that he's fun to hang out with, go tailgating at Patriots games, things like that. Really, really great guy. Definitely really pleased to have worked for Rob, to learn a lot from him and to maintain such a good relationship with him.
Right. And then shortly after you both sort of stepped up at Hugo's, you began plans to open Eventide Oyster Company right next door. So, Mike, tell us a little bit about how those two restaurants are different from each other and how they kind of work together.
Well, I mean, it's, I suppose, the distinction is probably one of atmosphere. We use the same purveyors, a lot of the same products, some even, you know, preparations cross over from restaurant to restaurant. But I think at Hugo's, it's definitely much more of kind of a fine dining experience, a little more, you know, we're very proud of our tasting menus and do everything that we can to tailor something that's going to be really special and unique, which isn't to say that, you know, you don't have the same thing at Eventide, but we probably focus a little more on consistency, making sure that, you know, the chowder on Monday is as delicious as the chowder on Saturday was, and things like that. But, you know, we use immersion circulators in the kitchen. Certainly they get as much airtime at Hugo's as they do at Eventide. So many of the preparations are very similar, and a lot of kind of the kitchen staples, like pickled jalapenos, say, you will see, you know, gracing the Hugo's menu and certainly all over the Eventide menu as well. So definitely a lot of overlap with maybe different atmosphere and a little bit different packaging.
Okay. And then I hear that you both were recently honored by Food and Wine as the best new chef in New England. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And that's relatively new. Andrew, how did you find out about that? Did you know you were in the running? Is it a surprise? Kind of what's that lead up? What's that process there?
It was a bit of a surprise. You know, we had Dana Cowan, the editor for Food and Wine, came in to eat at Eventide over the summer. We'd only been open a couple months at the time, but she seemed to really, really enjoy her experience. And then shortly thereafter, we started getting calls from them inquiring about our backgrounds and whatnot. So we sort of thought we might be in the running for something like this. And then, yeah, a couple months ago, well before the voting took place, they let us know that we were going to be participating in the People's Best New Chef. And, well, you know, the Food and Wine the editors pick 9 Best New Chefs to be, you know, on the cover of Food and Wine magazine. They've handed over one of the nominations to the people. So they nominated 10 chefs from 10 different regions, so 100 chefs overall. And they let us know in advance that we were going to be participating and sort of gave us free reign to do what we wanted. And it was just, you know, the more we thought about it, we just thought it was a great opportunity to expose ourselves and, you know, really run a campaign, which was quite a bit of fun. So, you know, we've sort of known for a long time that this is all coming, but it was definitely a great honor to be, in fact, nominated. The other chefs in the region were just a bunch of talented guys. We're definitely really thrilled to be come out on top and, you know, sort of surprised in a way, but it's great. All good.
Right. Well, that's certainly an honor, and we're real excited for you all, as I'm sure your peers are as well. And Mike, tell us a little bit about that campaign, because I got a little sneak peek of the video that you guys put together, which I enjoyed quite a bit. Did you guys just know right out of hand you're going to have a lot of fun with it, or kind of what did you want people to know about your restaurant?
Well, I think that the approach to it really came out of I don't know, just personally, and I think I can speak for Andrew, just having, you know, a little bit of reluctance, you know, getting out there on Facebook and on Twitter and, you know, badgering people, shilling for votes. I think we were a little uncomfortable with that, but then we were talking through it, and, you know, that's what politicians do. And, you know, we thought that, you know, maybe if we had sort of a tongue-in-cheek approach to this, you know, vote your conscience, we're chefs of inclusion, things like that, then maybe it would be not only an opportunity to, you know, get the restaurant, you know, get Eventide Oyster Company out there online, increase exposure, but also to, you know, inject a little bit of personality into the thing. You know, you can tweet whatever it is, however many characters you're allowed. Please vote for us. It's important. It's a big deal. But we thought that we'd sort of take this opportunity to have a bit of fun with it and inject a little bit of personality, because I think increasingly, you know, that's what people look for in restaurants. Certainly you want excellent service and delicious food, but if you get a sense that there's a little spark of something else happening at the restaurant, I think people really gravitate to that. I know that I do, and we sort of took that campaign video as an opportunity to, you know, poke fun at ourselves a little bit, maybe even at the contest a little bit, but also to, you know, get Food and Wine's name out there, get our name out there, and I don't know. We had to get up real early for it, so. About some of the performance in there. I don't know if it's Oscar worthy or maybe Emmys, I'm not sure, but we had a great time doing it. I think I'll look back on that and probably think that's the most important thing.
Well, it certainly gave a little insight into your personalities and how much fun it must be to come and spend some time at the restaurant. So I think it was a success. And, you know, when I think about, you know, the region that you guys are in Maine, I and most people, I think, immediately think about lobster. And, you know, of course, you'll be debuting your own lobster roll creation at the Lobster Roll Rumble this summer. Andrew, how do you typically serve lobster on your menus? Do you have just a lobster roll? Do you serve it in other ways?
We really milk lobster for all it's worth at both of our restaurants. We
good,
get everything
good.
We possibly can out of it because we love it. I mean, I grew up spending a lot of time in Maine, from Boston area originally, but I mean, that was just always my favorite dinner in the world was, you know, steamed lobster, drawn butter, and one of my favorite foods in the world for sure. So, you know, it's one of the joys of being in Maine and being a chef in Maine is to be able to include it. I mean, at Eventide, it's definitely a little more traditional. We do our lobster stews. We do lobster rolls. We serve our lobster rolls in Chinese-style steam buns. We have a variety of different flavorings. You can either get it with sort of the traditional lobster salad, which would be our house mayo and lemon juice and a little bit of fresh-cut dill. Or you can go so a little warm brown butter vinaigrette with chive. Or you can do a hollandaise with tarragon and smoked paprika. So you get some options, do it a little bit differently, definitely put our own twist on it. And then we also do serve, like on the half shell, we serve raw lobster as well, or lightly blanched lobster, so it's kind of like lobster sashimi. Also in the Hugo's, we do a variety of different things. We do, again, cold lobster salads with lobster sashimi. We do more refined plates with butter poached lobster tails or sous vide lobster tails, and a variety of different. We go through all sorts of different preparations over the course of the year with varying ingredients representative of the season. So we do love it in the middle of the summer. You get those nice, tender, sweet, soft shell lobsters are some of our favorites.
Right.
We definitely milk it.
You're making me hungry. That's a lot of different ways to enjoy lobster. And so, you know, here in New York, this summer, you're going to be competing against other chefs for the title of Best Lobster Roll. Mike, what are you going to be bringing? You've just laid out so many different ways that you can use lobster in different flavor combinations. What's your plan of attack? What's the lobster roll you're going to be bringing for the Lobster Roll Rumble this summer?
I think we're just going to be focused on cranking out as many of those little steamed buns as we possibly can. We're going to be, we're probably going to focus on the, maybe the lobster salad and, still have to talk about it a little bit, but perhaps the brown butter vinaigrette, that definitely seems to be the fan favorite up here, but we're just going to concentrate on, you know, we'll shape our buns a little bit differently, little taster-sized buns as opposed to the larger format that we do up here, so, you know, judges who are charged with eating pounds, potentially, of lobster meat don't get too bogged down. We're going to focus on making kind of more tasting menu-sized little lobster buns, but I think it's all going to come down to making sure we've got lots of fresh lobster meat and a manner in which we can steam these buns. So there'll be a lot of it'll be a big push to get all the work done, but we're really looking forward to it.
Right. Well, there are crowds and they are hungry, so you need to be prepared. Andrew, have you competed in the Lobster Roll Rumble before, or is this your first year?
No, this is the first year.
All right.
We've heard quite a bit about it, and we, definitely done our research on previous years, and it looks like quite an event. And we're wildly impressed with the competition that we're facing. Some of our favorite restaurants in New York, Boston, are competing in it this year and the previous years. So we just think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're pretty excited to be a part of it.
Right. Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys are fully prepared to bring lobster. But I have a last question. Mike, what is the deal with whoopie pies in Maine? I see it on your menu. What's the connection? Why whoopie pies?
I don't really have any pearls of wisdom for you on that. Maine has some wonderful kind of, it's like Moxie or like Red Snapper hot dogs. Are you familiar with those?
I'm familiar with Moxie, the soda. What's the Snapper hot dogs?
They're bright red, like think fire engine red hot dogs with a casing. When you bite into it, it's got this snap, and people either love them or they hate them.
Huh.
And I think the whoopie pie probably enjoys a broader audience than the red snapper does, but maybe it's like the Moxie. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Andrew, do you have any pearls of wisdom on the whoopie pie front?
I honestly don't know where it came from, why it is such a Maine staple, but it is. And literally every single convenience store you go to, little gas stations, 7-Elevens, whatever it is, they all serve homemade whoopie pies. Somebody in the town is baking off whoopie pies and selling them to their local convenience store. So literally everywhere you go, you see whoopie pies.
All right. Well, there you have it. Whoopie
Maine
pies.
Tradition.
Whoopie pies and lobsters in Maine. Great. Well, Andrew and Mike, thank you so much for giving us the lowdown on your lobster roll entries for the Tasting Tables 2013 Lobster Roll Rumble. This is Leah Eden with HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and I've been speaking with Andrew Taylor and Mike Wiley, the two chefs owners of Hugo's Restaurants and Eventide Oyster Company in Portland, Maine. They'll be competing in this summer's Lobster Roll Rumble. Heritage Radio Network will be there. You should, too.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.